Welcome back, guys. This is DMP Podcast. We're back to being a threesome again. Nathan back in the building.
So back to being a threesome. Pause.
what are we? A thruple or a threesome or a trio?
A triumvirate.
A triumvirate. Okay. But welcome back, big man. How was your week?
It was all right. I had to cancel my holiday, but you know, life moves on.
Hey, the
I'm here for you guys. Yeah.
Weather's been nice. Tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, maybe 20 plus degrees, Berlin, so.
Yeah, but it's not Mexico.
But you can still break the shorts.
I'm wearing shorts right now, but shorts whenever the weather, you know what I mean?
This is true. is anybody going into business meetings on Zoom with like trousers on?
No.
Shorts all day, shorts or three quarter legs.
I'm a sweatpant man right now. Love my sweatpants.
I've got tattoos on my legs, I've got to let people see.
As long as you're not committing the sin of wearing jeans at home, bro, then
I'm a corduroy guy as it is. You look back at my baby photos, I'm in corduroys. I don't do jeans.
Corduroys. Oh, in the summer.
Yeah, no. Then your shorts are out. You're either, you're losing weight. You're just dripping.
And how's your week been, Callum?
Cool. Yep. Enjoying the weather as it's starting to heat up a little bit, as mentioned. It's meant to get 20 plus. It has been 15 plus, give or take, today. So, yeah, making the most of it.
Cool. So, let's jump straight in. I think I personally felt like this was one of the more exciting trade deadlines that there's been. Not everybody in the group agrees, but
that was meaty. It was meaty.
You want to quickly give a general overview of what a trade deadline is, or what like a general trade in the NBA is?
Yeah, so essentially, teams can trade all the way through the season up until a certain date, which was last Wednesday. And usually teams will use the whole season to actually see who they want to keep on their roster, where they think they're going to finish. Are they a team that's going to be in the playoffs? Are they going to be trying to like tank and go for the lottery? And so around trade deadline time, you start to hear whispers of moves. And then like during that day or the day before, then you'll see people start to move. And you'll either with NBA, when you trade people, you have to trade for an equal amount of salary. Like it has to be a balancing trade. And typically you'll see people trading. So you may see one person being traded for two or three people, but that's only because the two or three people are needed to match that salary. And then where you'll see the value in trades is either by the players that are traded for each other or by the picks, whether they're first round picks or second round picks. So we saw a decent amount of players moving around the league. Not sure how much it changes things fundamentally. I think a couple of teams did get better. A couple of teams look like they are tanking beyond belief. In my opinion, it was quite fun to watch.
Is there any trades off the bat where you're like, oh, this team has really like cashed out? They're going to step up in the rankings. That team's going to, the chemistry is going to gel.
It's the Bulls, isn't it?
Bulls. Yeah. I'd say the Bulls and the Heat got better, definitely. So the Bulls basically got an all-star in Nikola Vucevic, who is an upgrade on any person that they have currently on their team in a center position, and probably outside of Embiid, who is he? Is he the best center in the East?
I mean, it's always up with a bit, isn't it? But he's very good. he's an all-star caliber player, and that sort of player can only help the Bulls, like especially Zach LaVine, that ready.
So it was good to see. Like that's an indication that they're swinging for the fences. But question though, I don't know. Now that you've seen the trades, Nathan, do you think the Bulls are actually going to be any better than a first-round playoff team?
Not right now, no. I still think they struggle to get past the first round, to be honest. But that's mainly because they don't really have any playoff pedigree or any players that can take them beyond that point.
No, if I'm right in saying, they also did a trade with the Celtics.
They've got Daniel Tice.
They've got a big German, Vucevic.
I think that's a good pickup for them as well. Tice is a decent player. Like,
yeah, then there was also two other names: Javonte Green and Troy Brown Jr.
And Mo Wagner going the other way.
Yes, correct.
Wags going to the Celtics.
My guy.
Apparently, this might be the first trade between two Germans.
Both the Celtics and the Lakers. What a guy.
Mo Wagner.
What a guy, bro.
That's quite a monumental moment in the sense of having not only a large amount of players in the league or a notable amount of players in the league, but to have them actually trading for each other, you know?
It's an international league now. Like, if you look at even the MVP race, of the top six, I think three of them aren't American. So it's a...
Maxi Kleber also traded? I heard some noise about that.
I don't think so.
I'll check in the back.
I think they've kept him. And then the other winners, like I said, the Heat, I guess they managed to get a decent haul during their trade. So they got Bielitsa. Who else did they get? They got Trevor Ariza before the trade deadline. And who else did they get? I feel they got someone else pretty decent. But I don't know why my brain is frozen. Victor Oladipo, of course. That's a big one.
I think that might even arguably be the biggest trade.
But they literally traded him for nothing. They literally traded him for a pick swap, which probably moves the Rockets like five places in a draft.
According to what I've got in front of me, they got Kelly Olynyk and Avery Bradley.
But they're not, like, they're players that the Rockets aren't going to keep. So yeah, these are players that you just have to, like I said before, you have to put players in the package to make the trade happen just because salaries have to match. But those two are just, they're just salary trades. They're not, I don't think the Rockets strategically think, okay, we're going to build our team around Kelly Olynyk.
So how does the future draft picks play into the salary equation?
It doesn't really. They're just like the currency. The salaries have to balance, and then the picks can be the currency.
Okay.
Right. So I wouldn't see the two players going backwards as any sort of value. The value came in that pick swap, and that pick swap is like pretty much nothing. So they traded Victor Oladipo for nothing. So if we go back and look at what the Rockets got for James Harden, they essentially traded James Harden for Caris LeVert and Jarrett Allen. And
they sent them elsewhere, bro. Those are the only good players in that whole deal, and they sent them elsewhere.
And they sent them out straight away.
The way the Rockets have fucked this all up here is an actual mad thing. Because, like, I don't understand how they're going to come out of it. They're actually fully shagged for a minute. They don't have great picks. They don't have great players. No one really wants to go to Houston right now. It's actually peak. The owners are obviously garbage. It's a mad thing.
It's a complete and utter, like, they don't even have... So when OKC went rebuild mode,
they got picks.
They got all the picks, and they had Shai Gilgeous-Alexander to build around. So you've got a superstar young player, and you have all the picks in the world. When when teams usually do this, or even with the Magic, now that they've essentially the trades that the Magic are doing, are them saying we're going to tank for the next couple of years. But they get Jonathan Isaac there, who's a potential All Star, and you've got Markelle Fultz to come back. He's iffy, but you have a half decent player there. The Rockets, I don't see where they go from here. I actually literally do not see what their route is. The picks aren't even going to be very high picks. They might lose this year's pick, which would be hilarious. Absolute shit show.
No, is it not? Yeah, okay.
Wait. At this moment in time, can we say James Harden was right? Because James Harden. Yeah, because you guys when it's given, especially you, Derek, because I know you're an old head, isn't it? And you like people to fix their contract. You remember that, don't you?
So firstly, I wanted like talk out against this ageism that I see, which is coming into this pod, where the opinions of somebody who's older are looked at as, oh, you're an old head. Do you know exactly how that makes me feel?
You grew up reading about Michael Jordan and Larry Bird in the newspaper, yeah?
Bill Ross won them, yeah. I had to get the VCR out if I wanted to record games. Yeah, baby. But look, yeah.
I see that as well.
But to be honest with you, James Harden, I had no issue. I'll give an argument and you take the wrong part of the argument. Right? So, James Harden, he has every right to want to try to fight for something else. But the way he did it, because of what he asked the team to sacrifice, I feel like he should have at least turned up. I feel like he should have at least turned up and done the bare minimum, because he's the one that put the Rockets in that situation. The Rockets wouldn't have no picks if he didn't force them to trade for Russell Westbrook. So it's his fault that they're even in this situation a little bit as well.
No, man, I think you failed to realize back then and now that James Harden was and probably still is the Houston Rockets. They don't exist without James Harden.
Of course.
So, like, if man wants to throw the trolley out because the organization is whack and he doesn't want to talk to them anymore, then that's what it is. You know what I mean? Man's trying to throw the toys out the pram. Bringing that one back.
I don't know. I think if he was a superstar who was like helping out in terms of, right, I think we should do this or do that, but he threatened to leave if they didn't get Westbrook. So they basically mortgaged their future on Westbrook. And then when he realizes that it's not working, he's like, ah, fuck it, I'm out as well. But then, of course, there is a little bit of responsibility that lies with him, but the main responsibility lies with the organization. And they knew that he told them what he wanted. They could have positioned themselves well. They had all the time to do it. And this is what they came out with.
What I'm thinking is, like, doesn't this, yeah, okay, it's highlighted now because of the James Harden, but isn't this quite a normal thing? It's essentially your luck or your run of the years, in the sense of, like, a team such as the Charlotte Bobcats or whatever, where they're never really constantly in the news, but they've never really got that plan to be better.
That's all. It's not the Bobcats.
Well, if you're a good organization, you can work out how to position yourself so that luck doesn't play too much of a part. Like, I don't think the Rockets were great because of luck. I think they're great because they had Daryl Morey, who knew, but he knew exactly, all right, this is when we need to trade for James Harden, and this is how we need to build a team around him. That's good organization skills to me. So,
and then James Harden leaves, and you've not got your plan B.
But he wasn't. So Daryl Morey had left at this point. So.
My job is done.
Anyway, goats of the week, goats of the year so far, it's definitely the Houston Rockets. Like, absolute monkeys, bro. Don't know who's in charge over there, what they're smoking over there in Houston, but they need to change up the pack. It's an absolute mad team.
Like, if you're a Rocket supporter, I don't know. Who would you rather be, a Rocket supporter or a Timberwolves supporter?
The thing is, like, the Rockets came into the season all excited, bro. They're like, yo, we got rid of Russell Westbrook. We've got John Wall coming in. We've got Victor Oladipo. Yo, we can still make a push. We've still got this. We don't need James Harden. We got PJ Tucker. Look at you now. My man Russell Westbrook pushing for the playoffs.
No, he's not. Come on,
yo, wait, whoa, I'm backing him.
Pushing for the playoffs. I'm fully behind Russell Westbrook.
I'm backing him.
I'm fully behind my guy, yo. Fuck. Yo, my guy. They got John Wall. Okay. No disrespect to John Wall, innit?
John Wall's doing, John Wall's trying his best, but that is that team is just an absolute catastrophe. But the question, who would you rather be, a Rockets or Timberwolves supporter?
Timberwolves. Yeah, at least they got personalities. At least I can look at these guys like D'Angelo Russell, Karl Anthony Towns, and they got Ant as well. Yo, they got Ricky Rubio. They got a whole bunch of like interesting people in that team that I like and I'd like to follow. The only guy I'm interested in right now in Houston.
Christian Wood?
No, it seems boring. Like, it would have been PJ Tucker, innit? PJ Tucker was my guy, but he's not even there anymore.
John Wall's exciting.
No, he's not.
John Wall's not exciting.
Oh, I mean, he is. I mean, he is.
Robert, is Pascal Siakam there, or have I fucked that up in my head?
No, he's in Toronto.
What's the big boy?
It's Chris Wood, isn't it?
Boogie's like, they traded or they waived Boogie.
Boogie's gone.
Oh, man.
Boogie might not play basketball again.
I don't even like John Wall like that. He's been irrelevant for too long, and he's not really relevant now.
See, you young cats, this is what you do. You pick up the newest shiny toy and then you throw the rest of them away.
Oh, he did his ACL like 3 times. He used to be the fastest guy in the league. Like, he's not anymore.
He's still got it. I just think he's not, his body isn't ready for this season right
Have
now.
Have you seen De'Aaron Fox?
Yeah, but this is, come on. John Wall's 29. De'Aaron Fox is like young boy.
29 ain't old. Look at LeBron as an example.
No, but 29 against De'Aaron Fox. De'Aaron Fox is quick, full stop anyway. Like,
that guy's rattled.
And John Wall did his Achilles. Achilles is like,
that's a nasty one. You can't stand, you can't squat, you can't nothing.
My phone stands. He's done out. Should we move on then?
Yeah, let's move on. So we can quickly sort of touch on the buyout trades. So the Nets have formed, well, what some people are calling a super team, with Aldridge moving to them in the buyout market. Like, how are you feeling about this one?
If someone told me 3 years ago that LaMarcus Aldridge and Blake Griffin had gone to join James Harden and Kevin Durant
and Kyrie
Irving,
and Joe Harris is still there,
I would have been stressed. But I'm less stressed right now because I'm still not bobbed about Blake Griffin.
Blake got 16 last night.
That's the number of you guys.
Yo, anyone get 16 playing against Harden right now?
So one thing I will hold my hand up with James Harden is I didn't realize that he had this playmaking side in his locker. Like, I think it was one game he had like 30 and 20 assists. So like, this is without Kyrie and Kevin Durant. So without Kyrie and Kevin Durant, that team is like a basement team. Like, that team is like a lottery team, and it's just James Harden like carrying them on his back, not just scoring. Like scoring, assists, doing everything. I'm seriously impressed with the dude. I've changed my opinion on him a lot.
But I think that's one thing that James Harden's always had, is the ability to seemingly slow down a run, a game, and kind of read the court and do the best out of it, whether that's him drawing a foul, shooting, or whether that's getting the ball to the right place. But I feel like James Harden does have that high-end basketball IQ that can lead a team to victory.
Mm.
He's also got the whole league scared of him. Like, once the league kind of is aware of you and your game, and you have that kind of that presence.
Kyrie's the same.
Kyrie's a bit different because, like, you have no idea what Kyrie's going to do. Like, Kyrie could literally just pull up, or if you get too close to him, he'll embarrass you and the nearest defender as well. With James Harden, like,
you know,
he's not fast.
You know exactly what he's going to do.
you know what I mean? Exactly. Like, every single step looks very like it's like predetermined. Like, yo, boom, 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 boom.
He has five moves. I don't think he has more than five moves, but you cannot stop any one of them.
But they're so effective, then it's kind of like rock, paper, scissors all the time, isn't it? You're just like, all right, cool, which one's going to fuck me up? Like, how am I getting cooked today? And he can also use that in order to like create space for the rest of his team as well, which is so like, that's again high IQ, because only the best can do that.
I didn't watch LaMarcus Aldridge too much like back in the day, but is he actually a rim threat? Like, can he actually jump up for alley-oops or
mid range like kind of guy, like old school kind of midi guy?
Do you think Brooklyn need? I don't know why. I don't know why he went there. I thought he was going to go to the Heat.
Team of names.
Right, all the veterans in the league said, yo, Nets giving out rings.
Yeah.
Nets giving out rings. Let's get over there. Yo, let's go.
To be fair, James Harden is giving people careers. Like, Bruce Brown is going to get a nice contract at some point. Like, there's all these little role players who are going to be getting big contracts at some point because James Harden's just feeding them the ball. Like, he's just giving you the ball. Like, I saw one play where, like, I think Harden and Kyrie were playing together and the defenders were just following them around. Bruce Brown's just chilling under the rim. Like, hey, no one can see me. And, like, just passes to him, easy layup. Like, guaranteed, like, 4 to 6 points every night, just doing nothing.
And this is what people were kind of debating when we, like, were talking about this trade, like, earlier on in the season. Everyone was like, yo, are you going to be able to have these players in the same team and then, like, gel and, like, be able to, like, make sacrifices and play for the team as a whole? I'm not going to lie, I was right.
I was right, bro.
Like, at the end of the day, like, if you want a ring, you'll play for the ring. You know what I mean? Like, it's winning basketball. And all these players know how to play winning basketball. When KD comes back, it's peak. And the thing is, like, even with, like, LaMarcus Aldridge and Blake Griffin there, I just still don't think either of them cracked their best five.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not sure. So,
So the Brooklyn Nets, now that... Remember when the trade was made, I didn't want to pass judgment on the Brooklyn Nets until we had their fully formed team.
True.
I thought they would probably be the favourites to come out of the East, but I wanted to see what happened. Now that we've got their fully formed version, I think the Lakers, as of today, when we're recording on Sunday night, they don't have Andre Drummond, but there's a good chance that they will. If you look at now, the Brooklyn Nets and the Lakers, do you have a strong feeling for either team if they were to meet in the finals?
Is LeBron James back and healthy?
LeBron and AD, we're assuming health across the board. So LeBron, KD, AD, all healthy.
Ooh. I'd like that series.
Lakers in four.
Ooh. Is that because LeBron's your dad, or is that because you actually, like, really believe it?
Lakers in three.
Whoa!
Let's make it five. So, like,
I don't see LeBron losing either. So I'm on the same boat of Lakers in five or Lakers in seven. Like, it's going to be tough, but I think LeBron's going to do LeBron things.
Also, you have to take into account that the Lakers are going to probably have to go through, like, the Nuggets and the Clippers, like, the Nuggets and the Jazz. Like, they're not going to have an easy route to the final. Like, they're going to have two deep, difficult games. Because I don't think they'll fall in the top five, if I'm honest.
All right, now, correct me if I'm wrong here. KD does not have a ring. Kyrie does not.
KD has two. Kyrie has a ring.
When? KD got his at Golden State. Where did Kyrie get his?
If that's so harsh, right? KD was one of the best players at Golden State, and you still disrespected him and forgot
that. Man, so is the finals MVP twice.
This is why he left and went to Brooklyn, because nobody thinks about those rings as being his rings.
Well, does James Harden have a ring?
Nope.
Okay.
James Harden, Harden is...
The point I'm trying to get to is the lust. Who actually wants it more? Not who wants to win the game, who wants to win the series, but who wants the ring? Who wants to be cemented?
All of them have...
We've just proven that you're not cemented if you've even got one. But
I think they all have it, though. Like, Kyrie wants to prove that he could do it without LeBron. KD wants to prove that he could do it without the Warriors. James Harden wants to prove that he's not a playoff. He doesn't flounder in the playoffs, and he's actually a big game player. And then LaMarcus and Blake, this will be their only chance, or not their only, but one of their last chances to get a ring.
Man, at the end of the day, like, I think all the athletes in the league want to win. And when you find yourself in a position where you can go as far as possible and win, then...
But I think that when you do get to that final four, final eight even, then it's like, how big is your lust for it? Like, will you dive for that ball that you wouldn't do in regular season? Like,
There is that, and then there's like just basic things like matchups. Like, yep. I mean, you saw the Heat last year. They wanted it more than anyone else. But at the end of the day, like, makes it bigger and better. You know what I mean? So, like, that's why I'm saying, like, when it does come to, like, actually finding yourself in a position to compete, it's really the organization. Does the organization really want to go for it? Do you have the team, that sort of, like, chemistry and, like, that, that makeup to, like, really go for a championship? I mean, it's, I mean, everyone wants it, and whether you're in a position to actually go for it. And that's why so many players kick up a fuss when it comes to, like, leaving teams. When you look at your organization and be like, yo, you don't want to win as much as me, or you're not in a position to do that, and you won't be for a while.
You've got to make that move. So I think the Nets will, I think that's a 7-game series. Yep. Reason being, the Nets have a lot of shot makers now. And when it gets to playoffs, and when it gets to nitty-gritty time, it's not about the different, like, plays that you play and X's and O's. It's me versus you, who's going to get a bucket. And I feel like the Nets have got enough people in there that they can win 2, if not 3 games against the Lakers. So that, to me, I think could go to a game. That would either go to a game 7 or Lakers in 6.
I'd ask a question, okay, let's say shit hits the fan, KD doesn't recover, LeBron doesn't recover as it is, the situation is as it is now, how's the series looking then?
The Lakers aren't getting there.
Okay.
The Lakers aren't getting to the finals.
Yeah, but that'll be a pretty whack season. if as is, no one recovered from their injuries. So, like, we wouldn't have any KD. We wouldn't have any LeBron James. We wouldn't have any AD. We wouldn't have a Steph Curry. We wouldn't have a Joel Embiid. No LaMelo Ball. Like, no Shai. No Shai, sorry. Like, lots of players are injured. So, we try not to think about the game in that way.
The way that it happens sometimes.
At the end of the day, like, the way teams are going to win is making sure all their best players are ready when it comes to the players in the playoffs. It doesn't matter about everything else. As long as you get to those positions and your best players are feeling as good as possible, then that's the goal. So I don't think the Lakers are really too, like, fussed about LeBron being out right now or AD being out right now. They're just in the hyperbolic time chamber. You seen LeBron's bed? LeBron's literally sits. He's literally sleeping in the booth, bro. Like, it's a mad thing.
He's coming. Now, LeBron's going to be back in like 2 weeks. Everyone thinks, oh, it's going to be 6 weeks. He's going to be
LeBron's
back in like
fine.
A couple. LeBron's be back
fine.
In a few weeks.
He's perfectly fine. He's taking a mid-season break.
Like, if he sees the Lakers slipping into like 7th place, I guarantee you he'll figure out a way. He'll be like, just put something into my leg.
Yeah, man. I'm both AD. And LeBron will come back. As soon as it gets a bit too much, you know, both of them coming back like fucking Power Rangers.
So talking about God LeBron, so where would the Brooklyn Nets team rank in comparison to other super teams that have been built to kill him?
Oh, should we look at the other super teams?
Yeah, so should we go
for the Warriors?
Past and present, yeah.
What?
So you have the KD Warriors.
Yeah. LeBron James, Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade.
But that's his team.
He was on those teams. So like other teams to beat LeBron. So like the first one would probably have been, I don't know, the Nets actually.
You got the San Antonio Spurs.
What was the consideration for like Chris Paul, Blake Griffin prime, DeAndre Jordan prime?
I think they go into that. That was definitely a super team.
No, that's not a proper super. No, I mean, when I mean super team, I mean like the first version of the Brooklyn Nets, where it was like
Shaq, Kobe.
No, the Brooklyn Nets.
The Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, obviously.
So teams put together to beat LeBron. So that would have been the first situation
prior up to the recent years where that's had to happen, where there's been a team put together to beat a specific individual in his team.
It's happened 4 times now.
So what you're talking about? Are you talking about the Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett?
Kevin Garnett.
Okay.
Brooklyn Pierce.
That was the Joe worst. That was the worst super team ever. I don't even know if that team would.
On paper, though, those are all ballers.
Who were all like 35 years old.
Yeah. No, they're still all right. They're still all right. It was all big names. So, I mean, if we're saying like super team in terms of like LaMarcus Aldridge and Blake Griffin.
This is true.
Then that's a super team to me. That's like the first big super team. And then, I mean, actually, the first one was the Celtics. Sorry.
The big three of the Celtics, yeah.
It was like Rondo, Garnett, Paul Pierce. Is it Ray Allen?
Ray Allen, yeah. Yeah.
Rondo was on that team as well, then.
Hmm?
Did you say Rondo?
Yeah.
And Rondo was on there as well. Yeah, Rondo as well. Yeah.
That's it. But to be honest, if we're really honest, the only proper super team that there has been was the Golden State Warriors. This one was deliberately, this is to beat LeBron. Like, LeBron beat them, and they were like, okay, you know what? Fuck it. Let's go and get the other best player in the world to come to our team.
Yeah, I'm wrong. The Celtics are mainly for the Lakers, I think.
Well, also in retrospect, if you look at your OKC, Westbrook, Durant, Harden team, that wasn't necessarily put together back then for any necessary purpose, but that group now.
It's difficult. To be honest, you have to ask, what do we call a super team? Because that could have been a super team, but they grew that organically.
Yeah, exactly. Organic super team.
Because they had three MVP caliber players, or three MVP winners even, in one team. Yeah, to be honest, I don't see this Nets team as being a proper super team.
I do.
But in terms of their challenge, but then you said that the Lakers are gonna beat them in three, so they're obviously not that super.
Obviously, LeBron beats anything, bro. What do you mean? LeBron's gonna beat anyone. He's been here before. His man's like Thanos, inevitable. But this is a legit super team. What do you mean, Kyrie Irving? Kevin Durant,
James Harden.
Just those three with two other random people.
I spoke out of turn.
You're moving, man. If I pick that team on 2K, you'll be spitting fire, bro. You'll be like, yo, what are you on? What are you on, bro?
True that. Nah, they're definitely a super team. I respect them a lot more than maybe you do. I think they're gonna do bits. It's gonna be peak for everybody. I don't think LaMarcus is the best addition for them. But like you said, once you have those three, even if you're a just about average player, you've got a good chance now. Yeah. And then what's this about Mason Plumlee?
West Athletic quite good.
Mason Plumlee. We're bringing. I've been watching Pat Connaughton. That guy is bouncy. He's bouncy. I've changed my opinion. I laughed a lot a few weeks ago when we said it. But the guy, he runs around and jumps everywhere. He gets rebounds all the time. Like, he's just a bouncy guy.
Money wise,
yeah, he's like Do you ever watch Fanasis? Yanis's brother.
I never watched
him.
If you watched him play, the guy doesn't know how to play basketball, but he just runs and he's bouncy. He just jumps up for everything, like crashes the glass. Like, his body, he doesn't know what he's doing. Someone described him as like being in a bumper car. Like, he's just all over the bit. Pat Connaughton's like a little bit more skilled version of that. I like to see it. So that might be your guy.
No disrespect. I look at so many of these white guys in the league and you're just like, fuck, how are you so athletically superior? What is going on? Like, I was looking at, I saw another clip of, is it Brian Scalabrine?
Yep. Yeah.
White Mamba.
One of him where the kid calls him out.
Yeah, bro. Yeah. I watched that and I was like, there actually isn't a single NBA player that I'd even be confident. Not a single one. And this guy doesn't even look like a basketball player. He's just massive back.
I reckon I could cross tackle fall.
I don't know if that's too hard.
Jimmy tackle for all Garden.
No, I think the recovery would be peak.
No, give me.
You can have a hand on the floor and he still reach up and.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Garden me right back, mid court, 1-on-1.
Oh, if you've got space, 100%. But if you're at the rim, tackle just needs to stand there with his hands up.
Ah, fake the button.
I don't know, man. I think you're disrespecting tackle.
Actually, I think my competitive gets the best of me in these situations because I'd be like, yo, I'd take on everybody. Given the day, given the chance, you never know what's going to happen.
There's no one in the NBA you can beat 1-on-1.
I would say there's only no one that can beat 1-on-1.
No, just straight 1-on-1. It doesn't matter. Just you.
Honestly, like, if you watch Last Chance U, like, you'll see the level of competitiveness that these guys have at junior college. Not even college, junior college
yeah.
level.
Yeah.
Like, just to be a basic player in the NBA, nah.
Yep, I'm for it. Fucking put someone in front of me and I'll have a great time.
Okay, but this is what winners do, to be honest. So I don't know if you listened to last week's podcast, Nathan, but certain guys were calling you wild. Certain guys were saying that you're not a winner. there was a nickname that was floating around. So something about no buckets Nathan was the nickname that was floating around. I don't know if you wanna defend yourself now that you're here.
I don't need to defend myself. Obviously, Derek, you wanna beat me 1-on-1, mate. Come at me, innit? I know it was you who was talking smack. It wasn't even me.
That's the worst thing. I was the one that said we shouldn't be slandering the guy whilst he is.
Niggas die every day, B.
But if the thing is, if you come and you get beaten by me, what are you gonna do then? Like, how are you gonna live?
I'm not staking anything on my basketball ability. Man's not an athlete. Never said I was. I literally just said I wasn't confident that I'd beat any player in the NBA. And I'm not confident that either of you two could either.
No,
I think that's fair.
There's no way I would.
Competitive. Dude, you give me the opportunity, I'll make the most out of it. I'm not saying that I would beat them consistently or even beat them. But if you give me the chance, so if you give me 100 opportunities, I'm not losing all 100 of them. I'm just not going to let that happen.
Oh, yeah, but that's... If you played a game of 21, do you think there's anybody in the G League that you could beat?
Given the date, yes.
Okay, cool. That's good confidence to have, man.
I also think, like, from the other side of that, you tell an NBA player, G League player, whatever, oh yeah, you're playing this random Scottish cunt, and then they're going to come in and be like, oh, I'm playing this random Scottish cunt, and then whatever. You get aggressive or you take him off the dribble, you hit that jump shot, whatever. And then, oh, shit, okay, I need to step my game up. I'm not prepared for this. I'm wearing my fucking joggies, you know?
Okay, so look, this is how we'll settle this. We're going to reach out to any ex-NBA or anyone that played in the G League or played at professional, and Callum says that he will beat you.
Do it.
First to 11, Callum says he's going to win.
Nathan said he's got 100 on me.
I do not have 100 on Cali too. But I will put 100 on the matchup, and whoever wins.
Okay. Also, we already have money. I'm ready to contribute to this as well. Let's get this set up.
Ooh. Sorry, I was just distracted by the fact that Isaiah Hartenstein is actually mixed race.
What? What? I thought he was like a proper German.
I just went on his Wikipedia and it says former professional basketball player of Afro-German descent.
Former?
And his dad's black, innit?
Ah.
So that's another one. Can
hey, boy, I'm taking the pros.
This guy, I'm not going to lie. Okay.
Yo, Callum's good, innit? Man's not disrespecting Callum. And like, obviously, you believe in your game, innit? But at the same time, I'll say it again, I don't think we can beat any.
I'm not where I'm at.
I'll keep repeating it, innit? I'm not even that confident because I don't play off to like that anymore. If I was proper on it and been playing like frequently, maybe I'd have the same confidence. Because at the end of the day, like playing breeds confidence, and that's fair enough. Like on your day, you could probably beat anyone, but that one day is likely to come once in 100, and I'm not willing to put in 100 days, which is probably the difference between me and Caddy T. Because like Caddy will get knocked down probably a couple times and be like, "Yo, fuck it, come on then, let's fucking have it." Oh, come on then. Me, if I get beaten a couple of times, I've learned my lesson.
this is not the spirit of a winner, bro. This is you're really sort of giving the characteristics of what No Buckets Nathan would really mean.
Derek, have you ever played basketball against someone who's played semi-professionally before?
Nah, man.
I'll play. Okay, you go and do that right now, right this second. Right this second, you go face someone and you go tell me, "Oh, I'm confident enough, I'll beat him again."
I'm definitely not.
You need to go and do it, because you can't sit on the fence when you haven't taken an L.
I'm not sitting on the fence when I haven't taken an L. I've taken enough L's at people at average to below average level, so I don't need to push myself to that limit. I'm all right. There's a reason why I talk about basketball and don't play it.
Don't get twisted though. Like, Callum's good in it, so like, I'm not even gonna. It's not even like me chatting shit about Callum. It's just like me saying, Taco Fall probably beat him 1-on-1. Don't matter if he catches him in the midcourt or at the rim.
Yo. I've got body. I have beaten people who have lost to people. It is what it is.
I mean, I'll probably beat Shaq in a 100-meter race. Yeah, cool. Yeah.
There you go.
I'll take that. But yeah, should we move on from like dwelling on how inadequate some of us are when it comes to actually playing basketball at a professional level? Because we can be here all day.
Yeah.
How many games do you think I'll take you to beat LeBron James? 1-on-1.
I think we'd be here for a long time. We'd be here for a very, very, very long time.
LeBron James is one of the ones where you're like, I don't know if it's ever going to be possible.
I honestly think he'd just get tired and be like, I can't, I'm tired, I don't want to play anymore.
Yeah,
like, it's embarrassing.
Or my honest answer would be, I don't think I've got enough money to pay him for one game.
So let's put it on a scale. So let's say LeBron is 1 to 1,000. LeBron is like 1,000+, so SS, gone. Okay, cool. What about JJ Redick? How many games do you think will take you to beat JJ Redick?
Oh, see, I think I could body JJ Redick. you get JJ Redick in the post with me. He's smaller than me. I'm hooked on my arm. I'm turning to the hoop and I'm getting a layup. Given he's going to pull up and shoot on me, absolutely fine. But you give me the chance to get him inside, I'll get my space.
Bear in mind, JJ Redick is not that small. Like,
yeah, but he's not 6'3".
He's probably 6'3". He's probably like 6'4". He's just because he's white, you think he's small.
I thought you were small.
Wait. Let me get up his height.
I don't think he's bigger than 6.
He's definitely bigger than 6, bro.
I think he's like 6'2".
193 centimeters.
That's 6'1", 6'2".
6'3".
Okay.
I mean, that's what I mean. Like, I feel like it's super easy to disrespect certain players in the NBA because you see him getting demolished by fucking Giannis Antetokounmpo. Yeah, okay, cool. That guy's a freak, isn't it? Like, but the average NBA player is leagues beyond what we see on street level.
100%.
It's a mad thing. And it's the same with football players. Like, sometimes people want to chat shit about, like,
Have you ever played against an NBA player?
Sorry?
Have you ever played against like an ex-pro?
My old coach in Lewisham, like, he was an ex-pro. I didn't beat him, and he was like 40. He was like 43, 44. And he didn't even play to like a crazy high level in like the NBA. Like, I think he was literally there for like maybe a couple seasons, played a couple games. That's me, innit? Like, I'm full of respect.
No, but it's at the end of the day, it's easy for us to sit and talk about this stuff, but like, I even see it with boxing when people get upset when guys don't finish a round or
what was that? Guys, you knocked Nathan out.
Don't try and cause this black on black violence. I don't know why they're trying to divide us. Like, but yeah,
okay, I'll swear.
Yeah, we should start like a streaming channel where people make like challenges. Yo, Callum, do this to Nathan. It'd be funny, bro.
No, I was just saying, like in boxing, sometimes when like someone's getting punched up and people are like, oh, why did he give up? Why did he? He's like, bro, if you're getting banged in the face like 10 times, like, are you going to keep on going? Do you have that? Do you have it in you to keep on going? Like, allow that. Like,
oh, he's got a weak chin. Amir Khan, he's shy. Okay. If Amir Khan hits you in the arm once, well, I hate you. You're not using that arm for like a good 3 weeks. That's just in the arm, bro. Like, it's the level that these athletes get to is so high. And who's the worst NBA player you can think of in the league right now?
I would say it's probably going to be someone that we're not even aware of their name.
Who comes
to mind in it, like out of your like kind of Rolodex?
Then I would then flip everything that I stand for and say potentially someone along the lines of Taco Fall.
I was going to say Taco.
All round NBA player. You couldn't put him in the point guard position. You couldn't put him in the shooting position. You can put him at number five. That's his job.
Even like Boban or someone, or one of these Antetokounmpo Kumpumpo guys. You can't.
Yeah, Thanasis, or the other one that's at the Lakers.
But the athleticism on that alone, even if he doesn't shoot, but he can catch a rebound and run the ball up the court, and that alone plays a big role.
But yeah, I'm sure there's maybe one or two who are stealing a living because they know someone, but for the majority.
You can't be Googling worst NBA player.
Who's the worst player in the NBA? No one's got a Barca player at this question before.
But it's so...
worst players in the NBA. I'm so harsh. Imagine waking up one morning. You're in the
Lakers fan drop some shit on a Clippers fan and so on and so forth.
Okay, so on this list, which is a couple years old, Is Chandler Parsons still playing?
Nah.
Okay, so Ryan Anderson's not playing. Raheem Noah retired. Bismack Biyombo is still.
I like Biz, I'm not going to lie. But he is a bit of a.
I don't think these are the worst players in any shape or form. We know that.
Well, I mean, we could say the worst players, but like, I mean, how are we grading that? Because we.
Like Big Baby Davis. Could have been at one point the worst player, but at the end of the day, it's not because he is in the rotation.
So, yeah, that's interesting actually, because we don't have like a fixed like ladder of like best to worst NBA players.
You can. There are
analytics. Roles.
You could do it by statistics, but
there are analytics that will tell you who has.
But there's also intangibles, because like loads of coaches will tell you like PJ Tucker is one of the top 30 players in the NBA, but all the stats will tell you he's bottom 100. So, I mean, you probably weigh up against contracts and what their stats were actually saying relevant to like how much they're being paid.
Yeah.
So these guys are saying Bismack Biyombo is getting 4 points a game. Playing 15 minutes a game and he makes $17 million a year.
17? Bismack? No way, I didn't know that. Bismack is a bit. Hey, go and get your money. Oh,
but at the same time, I'm not sure if he'd be the worst player in the league though, because he's got all that experience already since like 2011.
Bismack Biyombo is one of those guys that he looks like he should be like. You should be good, but he's just never done anything good ever. So, like, for him to get that money, fair play to the lad. But guys, I think like you said, Nathan, like 10 minutes ago, we could be here for a while looking at if we're talking about our opinions on who's the best and worst. But I think it's been a nice sort of roundup chat. Good little catch up. How's your welcome back been? You feel at home? Feel welcomed back to the fold?
You mean?
Yeah. Not missing Mexico too much?
Well, apparently you guys are chatting shit about me last week, so now I've got to go and re-listen.
You and Nathan, I got a fucking biathlon coming up. First we're doing game 21, one-on-one, and then we're getting in the ring.
We can do that. We can also do King of the Hill, the three of us.
Let's do it. When we're allowed to go out to a court, let's get it cracking.
Say no more. Oh, there's also, we didn't touch on Rondo to the
Clippers. Do you want to touch on it or
and then give me your elevator pitch?
No, we don't have to. It's like okay. Rondo, play off Rondo, innit?
You want to take? I'm more interested in Lemon Pepper Lou, bro. It's gonna be in Magic City strip clubs, getting them. Yeah, them wings are gonna be. They're gonna go through some profits, bro. Corona might have hit them, but they're gonna start to eat well now.
It's nice up in Corona rings, bro.
We good. Otherwise, in a bit. See you guys later. DMP out.
Peace out. A-term.